Thank you, ushers. Amen. Well, at this time, we're going to reveal the theme for 2017. Now, you might be wondering why we do have a theme each year. Well, we need to remember that every Bible-believing church is God's church. And every Bible-believing church is independent. It is self-governing. And God has a purpose and a plan for every local church. And every year, God has a specific area of ministry that He would have us as a church to focus on together. Now, of course, the whole Word of God is needful for us. It doesn't mean that this theme excludes other areas of need in our lives in the Word of God. But as God works in our church throughout the years, as we pray, God has revealed a theme each year for us and for each stage of the church. And that's an exciting thing. You know, when we think about God, He's not the God of the masses. He is the God of the individual. And He individually works in His churches for His glory. And I hope you're excited this morning, because this theme is not only for me. This theme is for you. Parents, this theme is for your family. Young people, this theme is for you this year. And you may not know what the Lord has in store, but we can find out this morning. As we prayed and sought the Lord's will, Lord, what would you desire for us to focus on this year? The Lord very clearly and very obviously brought this thing to me. And every year we reveal at the end of January what that is. So, without further ado, if you'll take your Bibles and turn to the middle of your Bibles, anywhere in the middle, approximately. And if you come to the book of Proverbs, you're in the right place. So the book of Proverbs, not exactly the middle. And we're in the Old Testament this year for our theme verse. Proverbs chapter number 11. Proverbs chapter number 11. Now, there are many wonderful verses in chapter 11. And there is one in particular that the Lord singled out to be the focus of our ministry and our teaching and preaching and exhortation in the church this year. Proverbs chapter 11, and we're going to read out loud our theme verse together, verse number 30. Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 30, on 2, 1, 2. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Amen. So, ushers, if you wouldn't mind revealing the banners for this year. And according to the verse that we have just read, the theme for 2017 is the theme of soul winning. Soul winning is our theme, and that is the exhortation and encouragement that God has brought to us. Basically, on your left, God desires for us to be all that we can be for the Lord in order for what to happen? That we may lead souls to the Lord Jesus Christ. The fruit of the righteous is as a tree of life that produces more life. What life? Other souls coming to Christ as Savior. Amen. Yep. And what a wonderful challenge. But it is a challenge with a promise, is it not? Because if we have righteousness in Christ and we are growing in Him, we will be a tree of life that will produce other lives. Souls coming to Christ. What a wonderful verse for our year. What a wonderful challenge. And this is the theme that the Lord has brought to us this year. Thank you, ushers. Good job. Well done. Proverbs chapter number 11 and verse 30. Now, it's an easy verse to remember. 11 and 30. So, Proverbs chapter number 11, verse number 30, we read, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, And he that winneth souls is wise. Let's commit this time in God's word to prayer and ask for his help to understand this verse. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word of God. And Lord, your word is sufficient for us, not only individually as Christians, but Lord, as a church, seeking your will and your way in our lives this year. And Father, we thank you for your love, and the promise of your personal care and attention and working in our lives. And Father, we thank you for this theme, and Lord, it is a challenging theme. But Lord, we know that this is your heart. Lord, the heartbeat of your work, Lord, is other souls coming to Christ as Saviour. And Father, help us as a church, we pray, to put your word down into our lives even this day, that we may move forward together for your glory and for the sake of the gospel. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, this morning I'd like to begin by sharing a story about a little girl named Hannah. Now, Hannah made an interesting statement to her mother about her newfound faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. One morning she woke up and she said to her mum, "Mum, I think the Lord Jesus has left my heart." Now, her mum was very concerned and a little bit curious, and she asked her daughter Hannah, "Well, where do you think that the Lord Jesus has gone?" And she promptly replied, "Well, Mum, I think he's gone into my throat because I feel like telling everyone that I know about the Lord Jesus Christ." And friend, that ought to be the case for every child of God, born again by the Spirit of God. A desire and a want to take that faith that is now in our hearts, which we learnt about last year, the just shall live by faith, and for that faith to come to the lips of our mouth and to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. And this year God has brought to us a wonderful theme. What a wonderful continuance from last year's theme, isn't that right? God doing a work in our life to take greater steps forward by faith. But ultimately those steps must lead to the service of God, which is to witness to others and tell them about the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And God's going to help us all year. Amen. To be a better witness for him, a more fruitful witness for the glory of God. And by introduction this morning, we are going to look at our theme verse. And we are going to allow the Lord to help us to understand what this verse really means. Now, maybe if you've read through Proverbs a number of times, you would have come across this verse. What is God, in fact, trying to say to us? Well, we're going to look at three lessons this morning. And the first one is perhaps the most important, and it centers around the word in the middle, which is the word righteous. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. You see, there can be no fruit and there can be no life without this word right here. So we need to understand what the word righteous means. If you think with me about a tree for a moment, and there is a tree depicted on the banner, And you can see the roots of that tree. If that tree didn't have any roots, would that tree be alive? Yes or no? No. So this first point is so important. It's like the roots of a tree. If you and I do not have these roots down in our lives, then we cannot be alive in Jesus Christ. We cannot be fruitful for the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the most important point. First of all, we're going to look at the prerequisite for the soul winner. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. Now, what does the word righteous mean? Well, evidently, it's the same as the word just. The just shall live by faith. The righteous is a tree of life. The word righteous means to be holy. It means to be perfect. It means to be just, to be legally innocent, to be absolutely clean. The Bible tells us that when we understand this word, the Bible tells us that there is only one who fits the category of righteousness. There is only one, isn't that true? That is perfectly righteous, sinless, holy. And the Bible tells us that that one is God Himself only. Now, if you're in the book of Proverbs, turn one book back to Psalm 145. Psalm 145. Thank you for turning there. Notice what the Bible says about the Lord God. Psalm 145 and verse 17. Let's read this verse together. Psalm 145, verse number 17 on 2. 1, 2. The Lord is righteous in all His ways and holy in all His works. Friends, when we understand the full meaning of the word righteousness, it is so true that only God is perfectly righteous. The Bible tells us that God is a holy God. He is a perfect God. He is separate from sin. The Bible tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 6 about God, God who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honour and power everlasting. Amen. My friends, God is so perfect and so holy, He cannot even look upon sin. He is holy. He is morally pure. In fact, the full extent of God's righteousness is beyond the limit of our understanding. When Isaiah was taken up in a vision to see the throne of God, he saw the angelic beings around the throne worshipping God. The Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter number 6 that these angelic beings had six wings. Notice what it says. With twain they covered their feet in humility before a holy God. With two wings they covered their eyes in humility before a holy God. And the Bible says with two wings they did fly, and they said these words, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. You see, our God is a holy God. The God who made you is a righteous God. The God who created the universe is a perfect and just God. God is a thrice holy God. Now, in understanding this, we also come to the conclusion that if God is so righteous, we must admit that you and I, as God's creation, do not meet or can stand up or meet the standard of God's perfect righteousness. Why? Because the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You see, God made us perfect in the beginning, but the Bible tells us that mankind chose to sin, and we are sinners by nature and by choice. We have all broken God's laws. God says, thou shalt not lie. And every person upon the face of this earth has lied before. We have broken God's laws. We have stolen. We have disobeyed our parents. And those are just three of the Ten Commandments. You see, the Bible tells us that we are lawbreakers. We are criminals. And because God is a holy and just God, therefore, as any just judge, He must punish sin. He must punish sin. Now, you may be here this morning and you may say, Pastor, look, I don't think I'm that bad of a person. I know I've lied. I know I've been rebellious in my home as a youngster. And, you know, I've stolen some things. But look, I'm not that bad. Well, let me ask you a question. If God were to stand right next to you this morning, and you were to compare yourself with the righteousness of God, how would you stand there? How would you compare to the righteousness, the perfect holiness of God? Well, God has something to say about that. Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6, the Bible says, but we all are as an unclean thing. Even our righteousnesses are a filthy rag, are as filthy rags. You know what God says this morning? Now look here carefully. God lifts up dirty, filthy rags. And He says, this is a picture of your righteousness. You know what those rags represent? They represent the bandages and the wrappings that are wrapped around the decrepit wounds of a leper. Those filthy, polluted, pus-filled, stinking bandages are the picture that God gives us. And God says, even what we think our good works in our lives, our own righteousnesses, are as filthy rags. And the Bible goes on to say that we all do fade as a leaf. We are not like a tree of life. We are dying. We are fading away. We all do fade as a leaf. Why? Because our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. The word iniquity means sin. What's the point? God is righteous. We are not. We are all unclean. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 10 that there is none righteous. No, not one among mankind. Friends, we are in trouble because only God is righteous. The Bible tells us that there is a punishment for sin. Romans chapter 6 verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. Death is the punishment that we deserve. And death is in the world today because of sin. We all have a death sentence upon our lives. And the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews, as it is written, it is appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment. And do you know what that judgment will be? Well, friend, God has already told us in the last book of the Bible. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. You might say to this morning, why has God created a place called hellfire, like the lake of fire? Why is it so bad? Well, let me tell you why. Because our sins are that bad. If we were to see our sins through the eyes of a righteous and holy God, we would agree with God that that's what we deserve. Friends, God is a holy God. And His punishment upon sin is catastrophic because our sins are that great in the eyes of a perfect, righteous, pure God. But here's the good news, my friends. As a God of justice, He must punish sin. But He can accept the righteous punishment of another. He can accept the righteous sacrifice of another who pays for our sin in our place. You see, I can't pay for your sins. Why? Because I'm unrighteous. I am a sinner, just like you. You can't pay for mine because we are on the same level. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Only one who is perfectly sinless can pay for our sins. And friends, do you know what the good news is? That's exactly what the Bible tells us that God did. John chapter 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. So whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. The Bible tells us that God the Son, God in the flesh, came down to this wicked, sin-cursed earth so that He can pay in full with His righteous blood for your sins and mine. Turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's see this in the Bible, this wonderful promise. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Stay with me this morning. Friends, this is the most important point. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Notice verse number 21. Speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, for He, God the Father, hath made Him, the Lord Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we, don't miss it, might be made the what? The righteousness of God in Him. How can you and I be made righteous when we are unrighteous? Well, we can't change ourselves. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says that we cannot be saved by good works. Why? Because even our good works are as what? Filthy rags. Our whole lives are contaminated with sin. Even the good things we do are filthy before God. That is how He sees us. Friends, we cannot change ourselves. You cannot be religious in order to get to God. If you're here this morning thinking that just by being in church, you're earning your way to heaven, my friend, you are mistaken. Religion is a lie. There is no way we can earn our way to God's favor. The Bible says that the only way we can be sure of a home in heaven, we can know that we have been brought back to God, is to be made righteous, to be made righteous. How can that happen? Well, you see, it all happened on the cross when the Lord Jesus Christ shed His sinless, holy blood. The blood of God the Son was spilt on the cross. Why? To pay in full for the sins of mankind. And friends, when the Lord Jesus was buried and on the third day He rose again from the dead, do you know what that means? That means God the Father accepted the righteous payment of the blood of Christ and was now satisfied that you and I, as sinners,
could be forgiven once and for all forever through the forgiveness in Jesus Christ. He hath made Him to be sin for us. He who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. Don't miss it. In Him. Let me ask you the question. Are you in Jesus Christ this morning? Has there been a time in your life that you saw yourself as God sees you? As an undone, dead in your sin, unrighteous sinner that deserves to go to the lake of fire, no less? Has there been a time that you feared the holiness of God and the wrath of God's judgment upon your soul? Has there been a time that you realized the holiness of God and your sinfulness before God? Friend, you cannot come to God without realizing that you are a sinner. It's impossible to come to God. We have to understand first that we are unrighteous. Only God is righteous. But has there been a time also that you turned away from your unrighteousness, your sin, yourself going your own way in your own direction? Has there been a time that you turned once and for all to Jesus Christ and you accepted His righteous payment on your behalf? And you call out to Him to ask you, to save you from your sins once and for all. Romans chapter 10 verse 13. Here's the promise. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved forever. Why? Because we can be made righteous by His perfect blood being applied to our soul at the moment of salvation. Isn't that what the Bible tells us here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5? That God made Christ to be sin for us. He knew no sin so that we may inherit His righteousness. We may receive the gift of eternal life. Friend, if you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have no righteousness of your own, but what you have is the perfect, holy, righteous blood of Jesus Christ. Your righteousness is Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that when God looks upon a sinner who trusts in Christ as their Savior, He no longer sees them as undone and condemned and headed to judgment. No, He sees them as if they have never sinned through the blood of Jesus Christ. What a wonderful, amazing miracle. To be born again from above. To receive His perfect righteousness. But friend, if you're here this morning and you're not sure whether you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior, it may very well be that you are still standing in your own righteousness, which is unclean before God, which deserves eternal judgment. Friend, if you're not sure whether you are saved, whether you are a Christian, whether you are in Jesus Christ this morning, let me encourage you to make a decision this morning. To repent of your sins once and for all, and to personally call out to Christ for salvation. Friends, whosoever will may come. Isn't that what we sang? The cross is empty today. We have a risen Savior who is inviting all to come to Him for salvation. See, we who are unrighteous can become righteous forever in Jesus Christ. Friend, is that you this morning? What a wonderful verse we read in Psalm 85 and verse 10. The Bible tells us that mercy, God's forgiveness, and truth, His justice, are met together, and righteousness and peace have kissed each other. God made perfect forgiveness and salvation available at the cross, and at the cross alone. There is no other way, my friend. Are you saved? Are you saved? Friend, if you are, let me encourage you to rejoice. Let's be reminded this morning that our righteousness is Christ. And because it is Christ, what He gives us, we cannot lose. We cannot be cast down back into the pit of hell for all eternity. No, he who receives Jesus Christ as Savior is forgiven forever because it's His righteousness, not ours, that saves us. Friend, if we cannot be righteous to get to God, then His righteousness will keep us safe forever. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, the Lord Jesus said. And they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Friend, if anything, we could base the whole message this morning on rejoicing that we can be indeed children of God and called righteous because of His gift
of love to you and I as unrighteous sinners. What a wonderful reminder of who we have in Jesus Christ. Friend, again, if you are not sure of your standing before God, if you feel nervous when we speak about this topic, friend, if you just don't know, let me encourage you, we're here to help. We'd love to take you to the Bible and show you simply and clearly how you can receive Christ's perfect righteousness and be saved today. Friend, don't leave this morning without telling someone of that need. All right, first of all, we see the prerequisite of the soul winner. That's like the roots of the tree. We need to be made righteous in Jesus Christ. Now, is that clear? And you need to say amen or we can't move on to the second point. Is that clear? Amen. We must be made righteous by Jesus Christ. Now, here is the next truth. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. What's the fruit? This is the fruit. Don't get confused about these dividing statements. The righteous is a tree of life. If we are in Jesus Christ, then the fruit of that new birth and that relationship with Christ is pictured as a tree of life. That's our second point this morning. If you're taking notes, the picture of the soul winner is point number two. We've seen the prerequisite. Now we're going to look at the picture. The picture of the soul winner. And notice that God uses an analogy that sounds very familiar. A tree of life. Now here's a question. Where in the Bible do we read this statement for the first time? The book of Genesis. Let's turn to Genesis. Well done. Genesis chapter number 2. A tree of life. Friends, this is no ordinary statement. God doesn't just say is alive or a tree, but a tree of life. A tree of life. Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 9. When God created a perfect heaven and a perfect earth, He placed a perfect man and woman within that garden, the Garden of Eden. And notice in verse 9, the Bible tells us, "And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil." The Bible tells us here in the book of Genesis that there was a time that everything was perfect, that man was righteous. Why? Because he was sinless. There was no sin in the world. There was no death. And in the midst of the garden, the Bible tells us that there was the tree of life. The tree of life was a life-giving tree. Very easy to understand. That's what it was. A life-giving tree. And it pictured to Adam and Eve the promise of God for of eternal life and eternal blessings with God. That's what the tree pictured. It pictured God's love. It pictured God's provision. It was pleasant to sight. It was good to food. And by the way, so were the other trees in the garden, except one. Except one. But you see, the tree of life is a picture of the love and the blessing and the grace and the eternal life in God. That's what the tree was a picture of. It was a bountiful tree. It was a flourishing tree. Now, I know it's hard to imagine, but with no death in the world, this tree had no leaves that withered. Hard to imagine. This tree was continually bountiful, continually in supply. This tree pictured, don't miss it, the tree of life, a flourishing, bountiful blessing and a picture of the eternal blessings of God. Now, there was another tree we read of in verse 9, don't we? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And if mankind chose to eat of that tree, they would choose to sin against God and they would know what evil is. And that sin would separate them from God. And that's exactly what happened in the Garden of Eden. Adam ate from the fruit of the tree of good and evil. They found out what evil was by sinning against God. And the wages of sin is death. And mankind was separated from God. But thank God a Savior came. But the point this morning is that the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. Now get it? Once a sinner comes to Jesus Christ as Savior and is made righteous, we are now to be a picture of the tree of life.
We are now to be a picture of God's blessing, of God's love, of God's eternal promise of life in Him. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. Friends, that is what you and I ought to be displaying in our lives. God's love, God's grace, God's bountiful provision. We ought to be Christians that can be seen as having a joy that is unlimited. Amen. A joy that never ends. A life that is flourishing, that is life-giving, that is a blessing to others. That's what the tree of life was. And that's the analogy that God uses of the righteous believer. The righteous believer. Friend, let me ask you this morning. Does your life picture the tree of life? Could that analogy be used of you? Well, as we turn to our memory verse in the book of John, chapter number 15, let me add some more truths to this thought. You see, in Jesus Christ, we are righteous. That is our position. But practically every day, we need to grow as a Christian, is that right?
Yep.
We need to grow. Now, our roots are solid. They cannot be removed. We cannot be cut off. In fact, once we receive Christ as Savior, we are grafted in, the Bible tells us, to the life source, which is Jesus Christ. But you and I need to continue to grow in righteousness each day. We are safe in Jesus. We are completely righteous in our position before God. But practically, we need to change. Here in the book of John, chapter 15, we have some wonderful verses. The book of John, chapter 15, verses 4 to 5. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. Friends, these are wonderful verses. The word abide means to stay with, to stay close to continue with. Do you know what the Lord Jesus is saying, Christian? If you are saved, you need to continue to grow. You need to stay as close to the Lord and get even closer than the day you were saved. Amen. Abide in me. Now, he was saying this to his disciples. Abide in me. Stay with me. And then he gave an analogy of a vine and branches. I am the vine, he said. Ye are the branches. And that's very easy to be understood. A branch can't do anything in and of itself if it's not attached to the vine. Is that right? You get rid of the vine, the branch is dead. But if we are in Christ, the only way that we can be fruitful as believers is to stay close to the Lord. Friends, we have to grow in righteousness. No matter what the false apostate churches today tell us, that we are completely righteous and every act we do is perfect, whether we choose one thing or the other, anything we do, even sin is righteous before God because we are completely righteous. Friends, that's not practically true. The Bible says to flee youthful lusts. The Bible says we are to flee the devil. The Bible says every day as Christians we are to put off the old man, the old nature, the old way we used to live, and to put on the new man, Jesus Christ. We are to take off those filthy clothes that displease God, and we are to put on each day that which pleases God, spiritually speaking. Take off those wretched, filthy habits and put on that which pleases Jesus Christ every day. We need to grow. And God has given us the gift of the Holy Spirit for what end? To make us righteous. To make us more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us very clearly in John chapter 15, don't miss it, here's the promise. If you and I stay close to the Lord as Christians, if you and I choose to grow and put off the old ways and put on the new continually, guess what God says? You'll bring forth much fruit. Friend, that's a promise of God. If you abide in Christ, the Bible says, the same bringeth forth much fruit.
Amen.
But here's another promise. If you and I do not grow in righteousness, if we make choices to go back to the old way of thinking, The old way of living, the old habits come back in, and we are no longer close to Jesus Christ as Christians. The Bible says, "For without me, ye can do nothing." And in our memory verses, we read it this morning. Every branch that bringeth forth not fruit, I take it away. I take it away. Now that can mean uselessness in the will of God, and that can also mean a Christian who the world knows is saved, but by their lives they're bringing reproach to the gospel. God will take that Christian away. He'll take them home. Friends, this is serious stuff. God has made us righteous in Jesus Christ. Why? So that our lives may be just like a tree of life. A tree of life that is flourishing, that is visibly evident, that someone looks at your life, and though you have trials and testings and tribulation, they cannot but admit that there is a work of God that He has done in your life. That there is a real joy that's not an emotional joy. It's not a joy that's pumped up by rock music. It's not a joy that is pumped up by experiences. But it's a real, heartfelt joy from the Holy Spirit of God by a contentment of a loving and living relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, that's the picture of the soul winner. The prerequisite is Christ as Savior. But the picture given as we grow ought to be you and I more and more so becoming a tree of life. Wow, what a challenge. That you and I would become like Jesus Christ. Amen. He is the tree of life, if you will. He is the one who brings eternal life. That we are to be like Christ. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." But what did the Lord say to us as believers? "Ye are the light of the world." And friends, if we have life in Christ, that light cannot be hid. That's what the Lord says. The Bible says that a city that is set upon a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, amen, that they may glorify, that they may see your good works and glorify your God, which is in heaven. That's God's plan for us. We are to be a tree of life. That's the fruit of the righteous. Friends, let me ask you this morning, is that a picture of your life? Could you say this morning that my life pictures something close to a tree of life that's flourishing, that's growing, that's a blessing to others, that pictures the eternal blessings of God? Friend, is that the picture of your life? Which tree are you this morning? Now, there was another tree in the Garden of Eden, wasn't it? Now, it looked good on the outside, but it was rotten on the inside. It pictured sin. It pictured death. Now, let me give you a warning this morning. If your life is continually a picture of sin, if that's the fruit of your life as a so-called Christian, lust, greed, covetousness, pride, self, envy, hypocrisy, anger. Friend, if that's the fruit of your so-called Christian life, I dare say you have never been made righteous in Jesus Christ. There are no roots of salvation there. Why? Because your life pictures death. And I'm concerned about some young people who may have prayed some prayers in the past, but they know in their very heart that there is no life, that there is no fruit of righteousness, just unrighteousness. And let me warn you, if you do that, if you know that and you do nothing with it, friend, judgment is coming. You need to be saved before it's too late. If that's all your life produces, if there is no desire to grow, if there is no desire for Christ after that prayer, friend, and you are still lost and dead in your sin. But friend, if you have been saved, and if you are a Christian, and perhaps you grow, and you were a witness, and you read the Word of God, and you were keen about the things of God, and you went on, but over time perhaps you stopped abiding in Him. Friend, you need to come back to Jesus Christ. You need to come back to a close relationship with Him. Why? Because without Jesus Christ we can do nothing. We can't be fruitful. Every branch that bringeth forth fruit, He purgeth it, so that it may bring forth more fruit. And we'll talk about that in a moment. But every branch that bringeth not fruit, a Christian who's no longer abiding in Christ, He taketh away. And here is the example and the challenge, a tree of life. May God help us as a church
to be a picture of a tree of life. Amen. Amen. A place that is alive, that is joyful, that when a visitor comes in, though they may not see the rock band, they sense a different spirit in this church. Amen. Not a spirit of fleshliness and worldliness, but a spirit of righteousness that honors the Lord. That's what will attract the sinner to the Savior, my friend. Don't make any mistake about it. That's what will attract the lost. Why? Because in the second verse, we see the product of the soul winner. The picture is a tree of life, but the product is more souls being saved. But before we go on, my friend, if you fade as a Christian, let me encourage you. It begins right here. You need to come back to the Lord. You need to walk with the Lord as closely as you did before when you were growing. Remember that day you were saved? Remember that day you couldn't wait to spend time in the Word of God? You can come back to that place. How? By confessing those known sins to the Lord, coming clean by the Word, amen. You are clean through the Word which was spoken unto you, the Lord said. That's how you abide in Christ. Let Him cleanse you through His Word. And then abide in Him. Get closer to the Lord, amen. That's what we talked about last Sunday. I won't repeat the message, but you need to add to your faith, and so do I. Add to your faith virtue. What does that mean? That which is excellent, that which is righteous. Virtue, knowledge, what else? Temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, charity. We are to grow. And if we grow, our lives will picture a flourishing, attractive tree that will be evident to all that they've got life there. And that life is different from mine, the lost person will say. And it will be attractive to them. But for the glory of God, we must abide in Christ, the picture of the soul winner. Well, the prerequisite is righteousness in Christ. That's the roots. Now, the picture is a tree of life that is blossoming, that is flourishing. That's the fruit. That is the fruit. But thirdly, the product is more life. The product is more life. Don't miss it. The fruit is a tree of life. The fruit is not souls. The fruit is a tree of life. And as a result of being all that we can be for God, there will be more fruit. Now, think with me for a moment about a healthy fruit tree. Let's choose an apple tree for argument's sake. Think of me for a moment. An apple tree that's healthy, that's bright, vibrant, that's a tree of life. It's living. Amen. Its roots are healthy. It is growing and it is naturally producing fruit. What is the result of one fruit tree like that planted in an orchard with healthy soil? What's the result? More fruit. Amen. Not just in and of itself, but what happens when that apple falls to the ground? Where is the seed, by the way? The seed is in the fruit. What happens when that seed falls to the ground? What is the result? More fruit. Is that right? More trees that produce more fruit. And then more trees, are you getting it? That produce more fruit. Now here is the wisdom for us. That the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. Secondly, and he that winneth souls is wise. The fruit of the righteous leads not only to life within, but further life outside of itself. The fruit is other souls being brought to righteousness and faith in Jesus Christ. Friend, if you and I are a tree of life, we will be a part of leading other souls to salvation in Jesus Christ. Now, according to the Book of Wisdom, winning souls means bringing them to yourself. That means winning them over to righteousness. It can apply to a non-Christian as well. But specifically for our theme this year, it refers to winning the lost. It refers to you and I multiplying ourselves. Friends, that is the Great Commission. God didn't just tell His disciples, abide in me. Amen. No, He said, herein have I sent you, that you should bring forth much fruit and that your fruit should remain. Where is that explained? Well, turn with me to the Great Commission. Matthew chapter 28. Notice verse number 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. There's the witness. Witnessing to all.
baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Ghost. Once they're saved, they're to be baptized. Verse 20, teaching them, there's discipleship, to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Can you see the fruit trees bearing more fruit? Those who have life and those who are a tree of life will bring forth other fruit. What is that? That's soul winning. That's discipleship. And then those new Christians end up becoming a tree of life, leading other souls to Jesus Christ. Friends, multiplication is God's plan for the local church. It isn't just you and I sitting here rejoicing in the truths of God and not telling anyone about them. Friend, the product of the soul winner is more souls, is more life. The tree of life leads to further life. And you and I, very simply, don't overcomplicate this verse. You and I are first of all to make sure that we are righteous. Have you received the Lord Jesus Christ the Savior? If you haven't, just stop there. That needs to be settled today. But if you have received Christ, are you abiding in Him? Are you growing? What is the cost of not growing? Well, we've heard it already this morning. How can we be used of God? What will people see in our life? Will we be a hindrance, as we sang, to those who are dying in sin? But friends, if our lives is a tree of life, what a wonderful promise. And he that winneth souls is wise. Somehow, somewhere, God will use you to be a part of other souls being saved. Now, don't miss it. I'm not saying that you will personally lead a soul to Jesus Christ. You will somehow, some way be involved in souls coming to Jesus Christ. One soweth, another watereth, but God giveth the increase. Amen. And we'll talk about that wisdom tonight. Don't miss out on this evening's message. It's the other half of our yearly theme. Make sure you're here tonight. We're going to look at the wisdom of the soul winner. But you see, God will use you. He wants to use you. Why? Because you're here. He left us here to do this. If we pray in Christ's stead, in His behalf, we pray, we strive in this world to preach the gospel, so that others may be reconciled and brought to the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He that winneth souls is wise. Let me close with this question. Where's the fruit? Where's the fruit of your life? Is your life a tree of life that is producing other lives in Jesus Christ? You cannot save them. But the Bible does say, winneth souls, does it not? The Bible does say He does the winning, but we're a part of that. That's why He left us here. Friend, when was the last time that you led a soul to Jesus Christ? When was the last time that you handed out a tract that led to someone being saved? When was the last time that you prayed for someone, that you shared your testimony, that you told someone that they needed to be saved before it's too late? Friend, where's the fruit? Where is the fruit? God's plan for your life and mine is to be fruitful. And the most exciting life on this side of eternity is to be righteous in Christ and to be growing in righteousness, to be a tree of life that leads others to righteousness in Christ. Does that make sense? The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. What will that lead to? More life. He that winneth souls is wise. That's our theme for 2017. And I'm excited about what God will do in our lives this year. Amen. Amen. A tree of life leads to more life. Imagine 10, 15, 20. Imagine an orchard of trees right here. What the Lord will do if we all make a choice this morning as Christians to grow, to deal with this first, so that God may use us to win souls.